Good morning and greetings to each one. It's good to be with you all again. It's been a little while since we were here, but it's a pleasure to be back with you all again. Bring greetings to you all from about central southern Vermont. So it's good to be with you. As many of you know, we've been working at building a house, and so we've just moved into that house this past Saturday, so we have a little bit of unpacking to do from that. But after that, I would like to extend an invitation for you all to come visit us sometime. And we do have a room that if you need to stay the night, you can come spend the night with us as well. I'd like to leave that out there for you. For this morning, I'd like to talk about a subject that I think is very familiar to all of us. For our title, I'm going to call it Loving One Another. I'm just going to write that up. Loving one another. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. This morning I'm blessed to be part of the body of Christ, a brotherhood. We were part of the local brotherhood there at Danby. I feel like I'm still part of the bigger brotherhood here at Harmony and the regional. I feel like without those things, I could not be where I'm at today. And God has a place for each one of us as we find ourselves where we're at. I find myself there in Vermont. Each of you find yourselves here. And being part of a brotherhood, we're called to love one another. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. Well, let's start in verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. So here in these verses, we're commanded to love one another. And if we remember back in the Ten Commandments, that was one of the commandments that were given to us, that we should love our neighbor as ourself. But it also gives us a warning here that we should take heed that we don't bite and devour one another. What does it mean to bite and devour one another? I get the picture of sitting around the supper table and you're talking about somebody at church or somebody that you know that you just don't like something about them or what they did. And we have to go into the details about all the bad things and how this was so wrong or why this is so weird or whatever. And that's what biting and devouring one another is. That's the opposite of loving that person. All right, now before I continue on with the subject of love, I want to look at one thing here in Romans. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Something I wanted to point out here that I think is very pertinent to loving one another. Chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there's a point I want to draw out of this. If I go back to when I was 11 years old, my parents took us children to revival meetings down at Ephrata Christian Fellowship. We were attending Ephrata at the time. And God was working in my heart. I wanted to serve Him. I wasn't a Christian yet. But in these revival meetings, I don't remember what the message was. I don't remember who preached. I remember God was speaking to me, and I responded to the altar call at the end of the service. And I went and found a counselor. My dad was with me. And this counselor led me through the steps to find salvation, repenting of my sin, seeing my need before God of how sinful I was, and helped me to understand the sin in my own life that needed to be dealt with. And after we talked for maybe an hour or so, he helped me to pray a prayer that helped me to ask for forgiveness from God and cleanse me and make me a believer. And I remember coming out of that counseling session, it's like, okay, I guess I'm a Christian now. I confessed my sin, the sin that I knew of in my life, and I did everything the way the counselor asked me to do it. And that kind of was like, I thought you have a feeling or something changes when you get born again. But I came out and, you know, the church building was still there, the lights were still on, and the people were still visiting as usual, and nothing really big changed. And then, I don't remember who it was, but somebody came up to me and asked me, so tell me what happened. And I said, well, I confessed my sin and I got born again. And it was that moment that I feel like salvation actually got a hold of me, where I could open my mouth and say, I got born again. Knowing it in my head and speaking it was two different things. It seemed like that speaking it was like the beginning of a journey where I could, yes, I said this. I told that person. Now that person knows. Now I have to live up to this. I have to believe this. I have to feel this. I have to know this. So if I could apply that to loving one another, as we love one another, do we tell each other, I love you? Brother, do I love you? Do you love me? Can I say to you, can you say to one another, I love you? I think that we know we love each other in our head, but when we actually speak it to one another, there's something powerful about that, that we can feel that and that we can, oh, I said I love you. That means something deeper. I have to live up to that. Now, I trust each one of us, if we're married, the words I love you is a normal part of our vocabulary. I trust and hope that's the case. And if it's not, that's something that we need to work on, that we should. If you have children, that should also be something that's a normal part of our vocabulary, where I love you. I love you as my child, as my son or my daughter, as my husband or my wife. If you're part of a family, you have a mother or a father, or you have siblings or cousins, that probably is a normal part of your conversation as well. But what about brotherhood? As we're part of a church, do we tell our brothers, do we tell our sisters that I love you? In the world that we live in today, this whole thing of love has been really cheapened to mean just a fling, a feeling that can just come and go. And that's sad, because that's not the kind of love that God loved us with. He loved us with love that was so deep that he was able to give up all the glories of heaven and come down and suffer with us for a few years and show us the way, show us how to love one another. That's true love. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, and fear God, honor the king. Just puts that love the brotherhood in with a couple other practical things that we as Christians are supposed to be doing. Galatians chapter 6, let's turn there together. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we're commanded to do good I believe this doing good, this love is loving. We are commanded to do good and to love all men. But it says especially to those who are of the household of faith. Sometimes those that are the closest to us are the hardest to love. And I think that's why that's in here. Especially to those that are the hardest to love. Those that we walk closest with. Those that see our strengths and our weaknesses. We are supposed to do good unto them who are of the household of faith. Those that know us the closest. Turn to 1 John 3, verse 11 through 18. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So I just talked about how we should open our mouths and tell our brothers and our sisters and tell each other that we love one another. We love you. But it goes much further than just opening your mouth and saying. You have to open your mouth and say, but let's not just do that. Let's actually love in deed and truth. This is a salvation issue, as we see here in this chapter. In verse 14, it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Death, I take that it's the death of eternal death unto eternal life. We know that because we love the brethren. That's one way we can tell if we have passed from death to life. Do we love the brothers, or do we bite and devour one another? If you don't love your brother, you're abiding in death. How do we love one another? If we go to verse 17, the end of verse 16, it says, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Then in verse 17, whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother's need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? This whole thing of love is more than just a greeting on Sunday morning, and I love you, brother, I love you, sister, and then go on your merry way. This thing of love has practical aspects to it, where when you see somebody has need, is there a need? Is there someone sick? Is there somebody that has children and needs some house help? Is there somebody that, there's so many different things. I think of different times in my own life, this past summer when we had a miscarriage, and there wasn't a lot of need physically, but there was a lot of need emotionally. And when we had the service, the graveside service here, so many of you showed up. And just your presence, just the fact that so many of you took time out of your schedule to come and sit with us for a difficult time is genuine love. I believe that. That was done out of a heart of love. Also, I think of in our move going to Vermont, trying to build this house. I don't know how to build houses, but I put my best foot forward and we went about it. And so many of you came up and pitched in and helped build that thing. So we have a house now. And I don't want to put any conviction on any of you or condemnation for somebody that wasn't able to be at our graveside service or at our house building. I don't want you to feel that way, because I know there's many, many other ways that many of you serve that you can't get around to everything. We do need to have limits in our lives. But these are some experiences that we've had where we've felt genuine love from the brotherhood. These are ways we can love one another. And I'm sure I'd like to challenge each one of you to think, how am I loving the brotherhood? Is there ways that I can go from here as I see needs around me? Is there something I have that I can offer to help, that I can show love to my brothers or my sisters? your actions are a language. We can say we love, but our actions also speak a language. By you showing up at our graveside service, even if you just showed up and didn't say anything, your actions of just being there is a language that spoke love. Oftentimes, your time is worth more than your things or your money. Just having some time to spend sitting alongside of a hurting or a grieving brother or sister is an excellent way to show love. Turn to John chapter 21, St. John chapter 21. Verse 15 to 17. So this is after Jesus, he lived his life here on this earth. He died. He was buried. And the disciples were kind of in their, I think they were in a state of confusion at this point. They had walked with Jesus. They thought something, they were going to get something from him. And what they expected and what they got was way different. And Jesus they just watched him die on the cross. He was buried. He's gone. And the disciples, Peter says, "I'm going fishing." Some of the disciples went with him. They're out in the boat. They go fishing. And they go back to their former life. That was something that was familiar to them. This Jesus stuff wasn't working out for them. And so they go back to what's familiar, what's comfortable. And they're fishing all night. They don't catch anything. Jesus comes along and go back out one more time and cast your nets again. And they get more fish than they could ever catch, more than they could even handle. So much that their nets were about to break. So then they knew at that point that, whoa, this Jesus actually came back. This is for sure the master. And as the story progresses here, Jesus makes them food there on the shore. They come in and they eat with Jesus. And as they're eating, as they finished up in verse 15, it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" I'm not sure who these are, if he's talking about the fish, if he's talking about his fishing, or if he's talking about his fellow man, or if he's talking about his former life. I'm not sure exactly what all he's talking about, but he's asking Simon, "Son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" And Peter answers and says unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." And Jesus said unto him, "Feed my lambs." And he said unto him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my sheep." And Jesus said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." I think Peter is getting a little frustrated here. "Jesus, I told you I love you. You keep asking me, what's going on here?" "Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he said unto him, "Follow me." There's a lot we could unpack there, but the thing I want to pull out is Jesus is asking Peter, "Do you love me?" Is Jesus asking us? I think he is. Do you love me? And how do we love God? By feeding his sheep, by feeding his lambs, by helping those that are less fortunate than us, by helping those that have need. That's how we can love God. That's how we love Jesus. Turn with me to John chapter 13, verse 34. Sorry, I'm kind of back and forth here a little bit, but some of these I think are worth looking into. John chapter 13, verse 34. No, that's not right. Okay, somehow I wrote down the wrong verse there. The one I was looking for, I'm not sure why I wrote down that chapter there, or that chapter and verse. The one I was looking for is, "By this shall all men know that ye love me." Is it the next verse? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in Luke. That's where my problem is. John chapter 13, yes, that is right. "Little children, yet a little while, and I am with you, and ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." So as we are the people of God, as we are a brotherhood, learning to love one another, this is how the world that's around us, the ungodly and the heathen, those that that don't have God, they will know that we love God by our love for one another. So if we want to go street witnessing and we go walk down the streets, or we in our work, we want to talk to a coworker or a customer or somebody that's in our lives in that way, if we go want to speak to them about Christ, and they see that we are fighting and we're devouring one another, they don't love God. They're fighting and devouring. But if they see that if they see us loving one another as the body of Christ, and then we speak to them about Christ, by this shall they know that we are His disciples. So I think it's very critical that we love one another, and that we the world can see that we love one another. All right, for our closing verse, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." So I trust that God can take these words and challenge each one of us to love one another in word. Let's tell each other that we love one another. Let's not be ashamed to say we love one another. There's too many people nowadays lying on their deathbed trying to get one more breath so that they could see their loved one and tell them, "I love you." And they never in all of their lives told them they loved them. Today is our day of opportunity. We have life. We have breath. We have ability to travel. We have ability to go and find our loved ones. We have ability to call them up on the phone. We can tell them, let's tell our brothers and our sisters, our children, whoever the loved ones are in our lives, our brotherhood, let's tell them that we love one another, and let's live like that. May God bless you.